Jeff Katz, News Radio 1140 WRVA and 96.1 FM. So, the other day, I stumbled across Manhunt, looking for Unabomber on Netflix. I am old enough to remember the hunt for the Unabomber. I was attracted to the case. The show looked interesting, but I'll tell you when I was hooked. When the lead character talked about water and water ice. I saw nothing wrong with this, but some people were outraged. Well, Jim Fitzgerald is joining us. He is the retired FBI supervisory special agent upon whom that character is based. Fitz, thank you for being here.
Jeff, it's great to be with you and your WRVA audience. Hello, everybody.
Yes. Now, let's start at the most important point. What the heck is wrong with water?
Well, you can call it H2O if you get a little self-conscious about it. Nobody really questions that. Yeah, the pronunciation of water by Philadelphia folks and the immediate environs. No one's really exactly sure where that came from. A little bit borrowed from the Scots, perhaps, back in the 1600s or 1700s. But to this day, that's one of the words that is distinctive in the Philly region. And if you're any other part of the country, someone says, can I have a glass of water? You pretty much know that person was born and raised in Philly.
Well, listen, on a day that the Eagles won the Super Bowl, what the heck? I mean, we're all... We're all on the same page on this. Well, let's dive into this because there are many of us who clearly remember the Unabomber and the absolute horror that he was wreaking across the country, the fear that many folks were living in. How'd you get assigned to that case?
Well, it's funny you say that, Jeff, because I was a cop in suburban Philly, Bensalem Township, a medium-sized department there. And I remember the late 70s through the mid-80s, just every once in a while reading, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and there's another bombing by this guy that the FBI called Unabomber, and I didn't know what it meant at first. I had to, go back to an earlier article, and Unabom was an acronym the FBI came up with, standing for University Airline Bombings. And that's because the earliest victims of this unknown bomber were, in fact, airlines, universities, and, of course, he morphed into computer stores, things like that. So, lo and behold, hey, that's just a far-off, distant investigation. I have nothing to do with it. I quit my PD in 87, joined the FBI. I go to New York City. The case kind of goes away for a while. Then 93, it comes back with a vengeance. All these letters being written. Now the Unabomber wants this article, a.k.a. manifesto, published in the New York Times. I get promoted to supervisor in Quantico as a brand new profiler. And next thing you know, I graduate from profiling school in June of 95. And my bosses say, Fitz, they need someone out in San Francisco for 30 days on this Unabom task force. Are you interested? And you learn in the FBI, if they kind of ask if you're interested, that kind of means you're going anyway. So I said, San Francisco for 30 days, I guess I can do that. Well, those 30 days turned into well over a year.
Wow.
After 17 years of this investigation, within the next 9 months, and I would humbly say with some of my help, in fact, the case was solved. Ted Kaczynski was identified. And the arrest was made April 3rd, 1996.
Okay, so let's talk about this groundbreaking thing, this science. Allegedly, you invented it, right? Forensic linguistics, that's yours.
I didn't invent it. There were academic professors at various universities that were doing some early work, taking the science of language, which is linguistics, and using that on occasionally in civil matters and in some criminal matters. A lot of copyright issues, the whole, should the Redskins be the name of the team? I mean, this is more recently, but there's linguists involved in that. They're saying, well, it's not offensive to people, and here's its root beginnings, whatever. So there were a few linguists in the U.S. sort of playing around with the area of language as evidence in court cases. But all of a sudden here in Unabom, I show up for my first 30 days out there. I think it was only going to be 30 days.
Right.
And I'm a seasoned investigator. I was a detective. I was a special agent in New York. I got 15 plus years under my belt as, making arrests and putting, investigations together. And then I now have 12 weeks of profiling under my belt, training at the FBI Academy in Quantico. And now I'm on this brand new case in Unabom. It hasn't been solved in 17 years with traditional profiling or traditional, fingerprints, DNA, latent, hairs and fibers, things like that. And all of a sudden, all these documents are thrust to me. Oh, you should read the manifesto. And I started finding some interesting things in the manifesto. And people, including going back to, and this was captured well, well in the series. The second letter written by the bomber to Dr. McConnell in 1985, I was the first one later in 95
right.
to look at it and say, hey, does anybody see this secret message written down the left-hand column?
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about, Fitz? What are you talking about? I said, maybe it doesn't mean anything, but it says, Dad, it is I.
Yeah.
And it's the first letters of each sentence on each paragraph of this letter to Dr. McConnell at the University of Michigan, which, of course, the package contained a bomb and blew up and injured him and one of his colleagues. And all of a sudden, the boss out there at the Unabomb Task Force said, Fitz, no one's ever seen that before. I'm putting you in charge of all the language analysis. Okay. And Jeff, and for your listeners, I had my college degree from Penn State. I had a master's degree from Villanova in psychology, but I had very little, if any, training in linguistics, statement analysis, anything like that. So this was trial by fire for me. And I didn't invent forensic linguistics without knowing other people were out there working on it. Guess what? It kind of came onto my desk and I started building my own case using this Unabomber's own language and his own words.
It's amazing. Jim Fitzgerald is joining us. Jim is a retired special agent from the FBI. He was the man on that Unabomber task force who discovers this language component, which really helps lead to Ted Kaczynski. Now, many of us are watching the series. It started on Discovery. It's now over on Netflix. You can go and watch it. I binge watched the whole thing. A couple of breaks for a glass of water, but otherwise, Manhunt Unabomber is on Netflix. Jim's website. Jim, why don't you give everybody the website? Because you've got some well-written books about this as well.
Sure, Jeff. It's www.jamesrfitzgerald.com. Just my name, no dots or periods in there, except for the .com.
Right.
And I have three books out. I'm writing my memoir. It's going to be four parts to it. The first three are published. They're all called the same thing, A Journey to the Center of the Mind. I've always been a fan of Jules Verne and A Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Right.
And then, of course, Ted Nugent and the Amboy Dukes with their 1969 song. So I sort of borrowed from that. Book one is the coming of age years. It's a kid growing up in Philly, quite frankly, running from the cops sometimes from doing silly things at the schoolyard, nothing heavy duty.
Right.
Never knowing I'd wind up. And that book ends with me graduating from Pennsylvania State Police Academy. Book two is my 11 years as a Ben Salem Township police officer, from rookie to plainclothes detective. I used to sit up in a billboard on I-95. And Jeff, I know you know that basic area.
Yeah.
And I used to sit up there and look over the Cornwell's train station.
And
catch car thieves. And I was the only one who ever thought of doing anything like that. And we were catching these guys left and right because we couldn't watch them sitting in the parking lot. Right. So that's just part of what's in book two and a bunch of other fun cops and robber stuff. Not only did I chase one Trans Am in a car chase one night, I chased two of them at the same time. They were both freshly stolen out of a car dealership. Then there's a whole lot of politics going on. There was a real dysfunctional PD for a couple years with a chief that just didn't know how to manage people. And then at the end of that book, I leave the PD and join the FBI in book three. First 18 chapters or so, first three chapters are my life at Quantico as a brand new agent in training, and the next 15, my time in New York, first World Trade Center bombing, the murder of a DEA agent and the mob.
Wow.
Wannabe Gus Faraci was in fact the killer. We finally hunted him down, and then just a bunch of other cases involving that and promotion to Quantico, and the last long chapter is my role in the Unabomb case that fills in all the blanks from the miniseries and add some other stuff there that even with 8 hours, they couldn't get all the facts in.
Oh, it's great stuff. Jim Fitzgerald is joining us again. Jim is retired from the FBI as a special agent, some marvelous books. His website, jamesrfitzgerald.com, jamesrfitzgerald.com. Let's talk a little bit about this miniseries, Jim, because I'm curious to know exactly how much was accurate and how much wasn't. And I'm going to give you just right off the bat my one observation, which drove my wife crazy. I said, because I had looked at it, and I knew you had been on the job in Bucks County, and the guy who's playing you is wearing a Philadelphia uniform with a Philadelphia patch, but it's the wrong badge. And I looked at her, and I said, now, in all candor, she's a Patriots fan. She threw stuff at me. She thought it was so ridiculous that I made that observation. But aside from that, Jim, how close was the miniseries character to you?
That's a good observation on your part. It was a Philly officer's uniform. But the very next scene, a package comes to my door. And if you look at the close-up, it's only on the screen for a few seconds. It says, of course, it's a made-up address.
Yeah.
But it says Ben Salem, PA, which in fact was the town I lived in and the PD I worked on. So they just kind of mix things there. What I'm telling people generally is the accuracy level of this series is about at the 85% quotient.
Okay.
Whenever anything in Hollywood is based on true events, I can guarantee you there is dramatic license added to further the plot line, to further the character development, whatever. My character is a composite character. And the big thing here, and spoiler alert to anyone who's listening, the real Fitz never interviewed the real Ted Kaczynski. Those scenes are fictitious. I spent time in a courtroom with him, and we had a very unusual interaction, which is written in chapter 20 of my third book. But when I read the scripts for the first time, the writers held the scripts back from me until they were all done.
Oh.
And I was, and when I finally read them in like November of 16,
mm-hmm.
I actually didn't return their calls or emails for about a week. I was so mad. I knew they would make my character somewhat composite, but
right.
and an amalgam of, you know, what other agents did, but really no agents interviewed him. And there's one retired FBI agent out there. I'm not even going to honor the airwaves with using his name, but he is so bent out of shape on this. He's written three articles on this website attacking me. I finally attacked him back that he knows nothing what he's talking about in terms of this. But that's not even here nor there. Most of the FBI liked it. The FBI is going through a tough time right now. And
yeah.
It was last year, too. And, yeah, there's a couple agents and supervisors who are mean sometimes. And yeah, they have the Fitz character doing some things he really didn't do in the actual case. But guess what? At the end, it shows a dedicated agency, dedicated agents and analysts and employees working hard to capture a serial killer. We did, and I'm very proud of that. And my book is 100% accurate, no dramatic license added. It's certainly from my perspective, the forensic, linguistic, and language perspective, and how here I am, a seasoned investigator, you know, but a brand new profiler thrust into the middle of this case. And before long, I found out, in fact, one can eat his cake and have it too.
I love
you
that.
You knew I'd bring that in.
Oh,
right
my
there.
God. I love that. I love that, Fitz. This is great stuff. This is such an amazing journey. I'm excited. I got to get your books because I want to read more about it. I also want to find out whether there was, at any point in your childhood, your teenage years, whether there was beer in Pennypack Park, because that was another one where I did a little running from the police in my time as well. So
there was, but... they didn't catch me that time. We'll just leave it at that.
This is great stuff. Let me ask you a very bizarre question, Fitz. Anybody working on that task force, once the manifesto is released and you read through it, does anybody look at it and say, aside from the criminal elements and the guy is sick and twisted and he's a serial killer, but you know what? Maybe there's some legitimacy to his societal observations.
Yes. And I was part of those conversations.
Okay.
And, you know, back then when clocks actually hung on walls and had hands to them, we would say even broken clocks are right twice a day. It doesn't work as well now with digital.
Right.
Clocks, of course. But yeah, definitely. We would hit on some things throughout there and say, oh, this guy, you know, big maybe government is too big in some areas. You know, maybe big entertainment. He liked to put the word big in front of sort of institutions of our culture. So, you know, between big government, big science, big entertainment, the Unabomber, and that's all we knew him as back then,
right.
He would certainly make some valid points about how maybe our society was losing touch with each other in terms of on an interpersonal basis,
okay.
But this was also international
yeah.
in terms of how he was framing it. And of course, the Unabomber's answer to all of society's problems with modern technology, big everything, was that we should become an agrarian society, meaning living off the land
mm-hmm.
in tribes of no more than 30 people.
Mm.
And until that happens, I'm going to continue bombing people in so many words. That's what he said. And that's where people got turned off. So yeah, if this guy decided not to kill people, if he decided to actually become a politician or a philosopher, meaning Ted Kaczynski,
yeah.
you know, he could still be out there preaching the word, and maybe there wouldn't be as many people, you know, sitting around six friends sitting around a table in a coffee shop all texting someone else while they're supposedly interacting with one another. So he definitely had some good points. I wrote a letter to him in 2016 in prison to Kaczynski.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I'd like to talk to you, come out and do an interview. Discovery Channel was going to sponsor the whole thing. And I said, look, you know, you made some valid points in your manifesto. And I made sure to put it at the end of my letter, I never agreed with, you know, the methods you chose to,
sure.
You know, sell them. But nonetheless, let's talk. Yeah. Well, it turns out he never did, in fact, return my letter. But that's okay. I think he knows Jim Fitzgerald is one of the main reasons, not the only, because it was a team effort to arrest the Unabomber. But he knows my name is all over the search warrant affidavit, and I think he may still hold a little grudge to this day, Jeff. You know how serial bombers are, right?
They are so persnickety, aren't they? Absolutely.
They are. Moody, even after 20 years.
Jim Fitzgerald is here. Jim is a retired FBI special agent. He was a supervisory special agent. Part of this Unabomber task force, it is his character, which really is the hero in the series that's on Netflix now called Manhunt Unabomber. He's got a number of books out. His website, I would urge you to go and take a look at it, jamesrfitzgerald.com, jamesrfitzgerald.com. All of his story. There's just so much here. So you retire from the FBI, and well, now what? What are you doing?
I'm still working on some TV shows. There's a show coming out called Notorious. That'll be on Reels. That comes out in the spring. And we take 10 separate cases from the last few decades. Unabomber's one of them. DC sniper case is in there.
Ooh.
We have a few others. D.B. Cooper, Patty Hearst case, and even Anthony Weiner and Jared Fogle from Subway. So it's a really eclectic mix of ne'er-do-wells of the last few decades in this country. And I just came back from Florida. We're doing the case of Kaylee Anthony.
Kind
of season two of the case of John A. Ramsey. And that'll be out on Oxygen Network, I believe, in April. So have your listeners keep their eyes out for those different shows. And maybe I'll even come back. I'm glad to talk to you about
them. Oh, my gosh.
When they're on the air.
We would love to have you back anytime.
And I also have my day job. I'm still a forensic linguist, just to finish up this part of your question.
Yeah.
My company is James R. Fitzgerald's Associates, LLC. And if there are companies or people out there or law enforcement agencies who have some anonymous letters, emails, blog postings, you name it, and they want some help trying to figure out who is the author, perhaps, I can help them in that regard. So I still do actual, analytical work as a forensic linguist when called upon. But I'm also writing my fourth book. They'll finish up my FBI career and also work on a few different TV shows. So always something out there to keep me busy, I assure you.
All right. Well, it sounds like you are staying busy. I'll send you some tape for my in-laws with chowder, and you can figure that one out for me.
I think I know where they're from already.
As they mock the water ice and me putting gas in the car, like that's a bad thing. Jeez.
And you eat a hoagie instead of a sub, right?
Of course, please. I don't even know a sub is something you ride on if you're in a uniform. Jim Fitzgerald, a marvelous guy. What an entertaining show Manhunt Unabomber is. It is on the Netflix website now. Go and take a look at it. His website, jamesrfitzgerald.com, is where you go to read more about Fitz, to get a copy of the books, jamesrfitzgerald.com, and we will absolutely have him back again. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio 1140 WRVA, and now 96.1 FM.